You are Locked On Dodgers, your daily Los Angeles Dodgers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
So I say D, I say D-O, D-O-D, D-O-D-G, D-O-D-G-E-R-S, team, 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 team.
Yo, 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 Dodger fans. Welcome to Locked On Dodgers. We are part of the Locked On Podcast Network, the number one local sports daily podcast network. Locked On, your team every day. This is the daily podcast covering the World Series champion Los Angeles Dodgers, bringing you the smart fans' perspective on our boys in blue. I'm Vince Samperio, Chavez Ravine Fiends, and while I'm solo right now, will not be solo for this episode. We did a locker room chat last night after the Dodgers spring training win over the Cubs, and that's what we're going to talk about today, or that's what the episode's going to be today. Talk about a few different categories and varieties and topics. But before all that, a quick reminder to subscribe to Locked On Dodgers wherever you get your podcast. When you get in your car or if you're at home, tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Dodgers. All right, here we go.
What should we talk about? Anybody have any ideas? One, obviously Dustin May. Anybody have any Dustin May thoughts they want to share?
Yeah, no one. I'll speak up for now. I mean, he clearly establishing the curveball so far this spring. He's really trying to work it in, not just as a strikeout pitch, but earlier in the count as well. He was mixing it up today. It's not quite there, but it's enough of a change from his fastball and two-seamer to give him that third pitch that could make him a top-tier rotation guy. So it's been exciting to see it. And he'll continue to develop it, but it's been exciting to see the little change. I mean, it's been working, which is a good thing, but I still think it could be a little bit better.
Yeah, and I'm at least as excited about the four-seam fastball he's throwing up in the zone, too, that seems to be getting a lot of swings and misses. So if he can command that thing, that's a big help too. We actually have a couple of questions in the chat. Maybe jump into that, and then we can come back to May if we want to. Lucas Smith, who I believe hosts a different Locked On show. I can't remember which one. He wants me to back
Cardinals.
Up my bold Cardinals. That's right. Wants me to back up my bold prediction I made on the Locked On MLB account today. I don't know if you saw that. I predicted that the Dodgers will win the division by at least 13 games. And I also see that Javi is here. So I'm glad he's here to hear this. Yeah. But basically, I think the Dodgers are a 110-win team, and I think the Padres are a 95-win team, and that's 15. So I'm giving the Padres the benefit of the doubt that they're going to, you know, maybe be two games better than I thought. But, yeah, I feel like I think – and I talked about this with Javi on our season preview episode, but I think everything has to go right or a lot more has to go right for the Padres than for the Dodgers. If everything goes right for both teams, the Dodgers win the division by – you know, a lot. And I also think the Dodgers are a little more likely to have more go right than the Padres are because they're not counting on, you know, Will Myers and Eric Hosmer and Jake Cronenworth all repeating last year. They're not counting on Blake Snell suddenly, you know, being able to face hitters three times or whatever. So that's what I was going to tweet earlier, Javi, just so you know. I was going to tweet, Javi tweeted something about, Blake Snell being the Padres' number three starter. And I said, it doesn't get to face batters a third time. Sounds more like a number five starter to me. But I didn't tweet it because I didn't want to start a fight. But yeah, that's my rationale for that, Lucas. Don't know if you have any thoughts on that, Vince. Do you think I'm off base?
No, I mean, the prediction of the Padres winning around 95 games is right. And the way we think the Dodgers are going to win 105 plus, you know, a double digit lead isn't out of the realm, but it wouldn't necessarily be something. I mean, the Dodgers have won the division by a lot before where it was close going into September, and it was close going into September last year before the Trent Grisham got the Dodgers mad and they decided to just run the table the rest of the way. So yeah, it's not I don't know if I would have made that bold prediction, but it's not completely out of the realm.
Yeah. Javi's bold prediction was that Trent Grisham was going to finish top 10 in the MVP voting. And I assume he's talking about the Pacific Coast League, but I don't know for sure.
Yeah, if he wants to request to speak to back that one up, I'm down.
Bring it on, Javi. We did have Ben Kaspic from Locked On Giants joining us last week. So, yeah, what else you guys want to talk about? Javi also asked about where Dustin May's hair ranks among the all-time Dodger greats. And, you know, we've talked about this before. There's a lot of adjectives that I would use to describe Dustin May's hair. plentiful, red, curly, bounteous. One I would not use is good. So there's that.
I mean, I'm sure there's a lot of people that would take his hair, which means it's somewhat good hair. But yeah, I think it, I don't like when he cuts it right before the spring. Later in the year when it's longer, that's when it looks better to me.
Yeah.
But I don't, I can't remember any Dodgers of recent memory having really good hair. Maybe, you know, Puig would put designs and color his hair sometimes, but I'm sure back in the 70s and 80s, some of those guys maybe had some froze or some other type of hair that really stood out.
Kike had pretty nice hair a few years ago before he buzzed it.
Oh, yeah, he did have some long hair. Yeah.
Yeah, I know my wife was jealous of Kike's luscious long hair. So, what do you got for us, Justin?
I was going to ask you guys your thoughts on this. Like, I don't think any Dodger fans love the idea of having to go to Colorado to play baseball games, but you think it's probably the best possible scenario to start the season with four up there, thinking that there's not going to be any pitchers that are unavailable from pitching, you know, previous games like the day before, 2 days before, or anything like that?
Yeah, that's a good question. I'm all on board if the Dodgers would just forfeit every Coors Field game every year. They're to the point where they can almost afford it and still be, you know, a really good team. But it does make sense, you know, starting off, getting four out of the way at the start of the year is really good, because then that means you only have five or six the rest of the year. And then, like I said, having everyone kind of healthy, you're not sure entirely what they're doing with the pitching staff so far, but you would imagine that there's going to be at least two guys that can stretch out to three or four innings if need be, whoever's not in the starting rotation. So they'll definitely have the arms available to go after it and kind of, you know, take on Coors, especially with the cold weather that's supposed to be for the night games. That might affect them a little bit as well.
Yeah, and the, you know, the, that's one of the aspects of the Coors. The other thing that sucks about playing in Coors is the hangover effect. It seems like offense is down for a game or two after playing in Coors, and so I kind of wish they were playing someone other than the A's in the second series. I wish they were playing a worse team right after Colorado just for that reason. But ultimately, I think this offense can probably bounce back decently. But yeah, I, you know, if I'd rather have the Rockies forfeit all the games the Dodgers are playing in Colorado. But I guess if the Dodgers did forfeit those 9 or 10 games, that would get the Padres within 5 or 6 games, I guess. So that would work.
Give everybody some help. Bet Online is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. NBA, college basketball, NHL in full swing. Even got baseball coming up. You got, I'm sure there's a bunch of other things. Award season's coming up. TV shows, reality TV. BetOnline.ag has everything you could possibly think of betting on. They got real-time updated odds and props on almost anything you can imagine. They got you covered for all your news, scores, and odds. It's free to sign up, and it's the best way to place your bets. Right now, go to betonline.ag and use the promo code LOCKEDON, and you'll get a 50% welcome bonus after your first deposit. So sign up at betonline.ag, use the promo code LOCKEDON, and get a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. Get all the sports news you need in under 20 minutes with the Locked On Today podcast. Host Peter Bukowski updates you on the latest news in every major sport with the help of our local experts. Follow the Locked On Today podcast wherever you get podcasts.
Armando had a question in the chat. He asked, what do we think about Jimmy Nelson making the team?
Yeah, that's a good question. Obviously, Jimmy Nelson added to the 40-man roster. Tommy Canley finally moved to the 60-day injured list. And then along with that news, Sheldon Newsy will not be on the opening day roster. He was optioned down. But Jimmy Nelson, as we've seen all spring, he's been really, really, really good. I'm not entirely sure with him added in the mix. It seems that there's on track to be 8 guys that can start for the Dodgers to start the year. And obviously they're not going to have an 8-man rotation. So it's interesting to see how they're going to use David Price or Dustin May, Tony Gonsolin, and Jimmy Nelson. But his stuff has made him, you know, best 13 pitchers on the roster for sure. And it could really play up in a 1 or 2 inning reliever role if that's what they're going to use him as. I know Dave Roberts said before the game that they're going to have some conversations and be honest with people about their roles in the next few days. So you would imagine those 4 guys I mentioned are going to be the ones that get talked to.
Yeah, and Nelson, he's going to be on a pretty pretty stark innings limit for the season anyway, just since he hasn't pitched a full season in 4 or 5 years. So at least starting in the bullpen makes a lot of sense for me. And like you said, it's best 13 pitchers, and he's absolutely one of them. And so whether it is long relief or high leverage, you know, late inning, one inning relief, whatever it is, I think Jimmy Nelson is absolutely an asset to this team. Yeah, I had actually missed the news about Noisy getting optioned. It's not like me to skip any of Twitter, but I was busy this afternoon, and so I skipped a couple hours worth of Twitter, and I guess I missed that. So that's interesting. I see that 3 hours ago, so that was right in the time that I wasn't paying attention to Twitter. I'm a little bit surprised, but not overly. You know, we talked about this the other day. I had predicted him for the opening day roster, but in the end, you know, kind of talk through the idea of having an all left-handed bench and realize it's not that terrible of an idea, because if a right-hander is sitting, you know, that if Chris Taylor might be on the bench sometimes, or, you know, whoever it is. So having an all lefty bench isn't the end of the world, but I do think we'll see Noisy in the big leagues at times this year.
Yeah, one thing I did want to bring up is that one of the articles about Justin Turner, you know, we all know he's lost weight. He did the whole 30 with his wife. He's under 200 for the first time. But he did say that, you know, even after these spring games, he doesn't feel it the same as he did before. He feels much better. He doesn't feel as fatigued or whatever the wording was. But do you think that affects the way the Dodgers are going to use him? You know, we kind of tabbed him for 120 to 140 games, you know, probably a day off a week. Do you think this, you know, his newfound health is going to keep him in the lineup more? They still want to move guys around, you know, get either Edwin Rios, some ABs, or Chris Taylor, whoever else it is.
Yeah, I think we're still going to see roughly the same usage. I mean, JT was sitting a lot even back in 2015. You know, he's always been a guy who they've talked about, okay, we're going to need to get him days off. And so I feel like the newfound health is more just trying to keep father time or mother getting old, whatever you want to call it, at bay, more than actually trying to turn back the clock.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah. And Justin Hicken mentioned, you know, Edwin Rios a little hurt, Beatty looking good. Beatty's looked good all spring. And, you know, he was one that really just kind of had a lost year last year. He never really got playing time. And even he was on the postseason roster, but even then, I think his main contribution was getting hit by a pitch a couple times in one game. So he's one that we saw him in 2019 come in and be a big contributor, be a really good hitter in the clutch, later innings, you know, always having a good AB. So he's one that, like, we talked about AJ Pollock the other day being, you know, kind of struggling so far in the postseason. He struggled in spring so far. And, you know, Matt Beatty could be one to benefit from that if they end up, you know, either only using Pollock against left-handers or whatever the case is. Matt Beatty would stand to benefit the most from it.
Yeah, maybe our left field platoon is going to end up being Chris Taylor and Matt Beatty. And Pollock is going to be already on the bench. Yeah. And, I thought about that today. You know, Pollock's first at bat, and you and I have joked a lot about how we – never feel comfortable when Pollock's up there against a righty, and that first at bat really showed why. It's like he looks at a fastball right down the middle, ends up striking out swinging on a curveball or slider or whatever, and we've seen that so many times. But he's, you know, he's proven us wrong before, and hopefully he will again. So yeah, but one of the things about Beatty, though, you mentioned the good at bats, like, he really has a good command when he's comfortable. Sometimes he's pressing and you can tell, but when he's feeling like himself, like, he is really good at laying off close pitches, really, you know, battling. When he hit that home run tonight, there was a pitch that he's got such a short swing. It's kind of ridiculous how much power he can generate, because, you know, that short swing lets him, you know, whatever the hitting coaches say, let the ball travel, you know, so you can make sure it's a strike before you swing at it. It's, you know, the opposite of Rios's swing. Rios has such a long swing, and obviously when he does make contact, it goes a long way. But Beatty, that compact swing really lets him battle really well. And that's kind of the Dodgers' MO the last several years, is driving up pitch counts. And I've been thinking about that a little bit too, that this year, if that's going to be an even bigger deal than it has been in previous years, because we know that every pitcher is going to, in baseball, is going to be on some sort of pitch count or innings limit or something just because nobody had a full workload last year. So I wonder if driving up those pitch counts is going to be even more valuable. And we're going to see the Dodgers getting guys, you know, into the 40s on pitch count in the second inning. And that can really turn a whole series. If you can, in game one of a 3-game series, you knock a starter out in the third or fourth inning, that can really, really change things. And so I think that's kind of a, maybe an understated thing to watch for the Dodgers this year, because they do have so many guys. Basically everybody except Corey Seager is really, really good at driving up the count.
Yeah. I mean, the Dodgers, we've seen it before, and that, you know, in the playoffs, their strategy was that to try to get into the bullpen, especially early on in that Braves series. But Max Fried just happened to, you know, shut them down, and then they weren't able to really get anything the rest of the way. But it really worked out toward the back end when, you know, the Braves had to use guys multiple days in a row. You know, Chris Martin, they had already faced him a few times. Bellinger probably knew what to look for. AJ Minter had faced him in game 5, came back in game 7. You know, maybe Kike had known what to look for. There's different things like that that, you know, people don't realize what happens in the course of a series once you get into the bullpen early. It's not just for that game, but it's for the following games after. And that's what the Dodgers have been really good at in the past. And I don't see that changing. When we've seen it even this spring. Max Muncy struggled last year, but he still drew a bunch of walks. A bunch of the other guys are all, you know, known for having good at-bats or at least taking walks. And other than Corey Seager, there's not really any known notorious first ball swingers on the Dodgers. So they're always looking to get into that bullpen when they can.
And that's a challenging thing to do in spring training, because there's not the actual payoff and benefit, because in spring training, you know, okay, this guy's only throwing an inning or two anyway. So getting his pitch count up doesn't actually have that same benefit. But for the hitters, it's important to remember, okay, but this is who I need to be this year. So I need to have that same approach, even though it doesn't have the same benefit today. It will help me to get that benefit in the regular season. I feel like a lot of things about spring training are like that, where you kind of have to almost put yourself in pretend situations to kind of get the right mindset to do what you need to do to get ready for the season.
Now, we've been telling you about Built Bar, the best tasting protein bar, for a while now, but it's time to talk about it some more. Built Bar is the amazing low calorie, low sugar, high protein, high fiber, amazing tasting protein bar covered in chocolate. And right now it's the time to find out which Built Bar is the best during Built Bar Madness. Today's matchup is cookie dough chunk versus birthday cake. Both flavors are great, but I had birthday cake the other day and I love birthday cake, so birthday cake is the winner for me. You can't go wrong with cookie dough chunk, but birthday cake with sprinkles, it's just, you know, birthday cake. You can't go wrong with it. So that's what I'm taking for today's matchup. You can go to builtbar.com or bar_built on Twitter to place your vote. And remember to use the promo code LOCKED15 to get 15% off your next order at builtbar.com. That's LOCKED15, builtbar.com, 15% off your next order. And check back to see who won today's matchup and who will become the best tasting protein bar. The Locked On MLB Division Preview Series continues on Locked On MLB Today. Every episode from now until the 31st features in-depth looks at each team in every division. It's all on the Locked On MLB podcast feed right now. Follow Locked On MLB on the radio.com app or wherever you get podcasts.
One thing, so I read this article the other day by Grant Brisby, and I think it was based off an Enosaurus article. This one was giant specific of like spring stats that actually do matter. I don't have any off the top of my head, but Jeff, you know, just kind of when you're watching or when we're watching spring training, you know, we always say that the results don't matter as much, but are there any results that you actually look for that think, you know, they might matter, they might resonate, or they might either someone's doing something different or someone, you know, fix something or whatever else it is?
Actual stats, I haven't identified any. Obviously there's some that matter more than others. But for me, it's a lot more about the non-stat stuff, you know, the quality of at bats, blah, 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 all that stuff. And like I think I mentioned this last week in the locker room, I don't remember if it made the podcast or not, but there's a lot of stuff we just aren't going to be privy to. We're not going to have any idea what a hitter's working on or what a pitcher's working on. And so, you know, I'm sure that the coaching staff, the front office, they do have some things that they pay more attention to than others stat wise. But they're the ones who are privy to, okay, you know, when Walker Buehler gave up 9 runs the other day, was he working on something? You know, when Trevor Bauer had that bad fifth inning, was he really working on something or you know, just throwing or whatever? And hitters are the same way. You know, Max Muncy has struggled. Mookie hasn't hit a home run. You know, a lot of those things that if you were looking for something to be concerned about, you could find it. But I don't know if I personally am in a position to know what stats might be important just because there's a lot of information I don't have.
Yeah, it's always, you know, if a guy comes in working on his swing, obviously it's going to be a little bit different. Guys coming in working on certain things, you know, trying to get his pitch hand up, but also working on certain things. And obviously there's some stats that don't matter. I think the ones he had, the main ones were balls or walks, strikeouts to walk ratio, both for hitters and pitchers, which is something that, you know, for pitchers, unless they're working on something specific delivery wise, you know, strikeout to walk is probably a good one. And hitters, same thing. You do face worse pitchers, so you might walk a little bit more often than normal. But those are a couple that, you know, we kind of look for, or we kind of see, like you mentioned, good at bats. If guys are having those good at bats, then, you know, they're either seeing the ball well, whatever else it is. If we know a guy's coming in with the swing change, then obviously that's something different. You know, Cody Bellinger, not necessarily coming in with the swing change, but hasn't swung a bat all offseason and came in with a little bit different batting stance and things like that. So, yeah, for spring training, that it's hard for us to kind of know, but those are some of the small things you can maybe look at and appreciate spring training for what it is.
Yeah, and that might be true. I still have, because we do know so many pitchers are working on different things, like I guess I might put more stock in strikeout to walk ratio for a hitter than for a pitcher, just because, you know, if you are working on something like Dustin May is trying to command that curveball, yeah, I don't know. I have a really hard time with basically any spring training stats.
Oh, well, on my note, on one end, I was able to split a 14-game pack with someone. So I have 7 games of Dodger games I'll be going to at least for sure through June 2nd.
Nice. I have a 14-game pack that I didn't split with anyone and that I probably won't be able to use at all. I did actually want to follow up a little bit on my episode from last night. I got quite a bit of feedback on my rant about non-California residents not being allowed to go to games. And I just want to clarify a little bit. I think for the most part, it was clear that I'm not anti-science. My big issue with the rule is that I have a hard time seeing how it is based on science, because, you know, an example I use today, if you live in Doris, California, you can drive 662 miles to Dodger Stadium and go to a game, no problem. But if you live in Pleasant Grove, Utah, you can drive 661 miles and not go to a game because you're not allowed because your miles are northeast instead of north. I just feel like California is such a big state that to say, you know, you can't go to the game if you don't live in California when California is so big seems really arbitrary, especially when you realize of the 11,200 people in the stands on April 9th, it's probably going to be 1,000 of them that flew to Colorado and were at Coors Field on April 1st. There's going to be another 1,000 or 2,000 who spent the previous weekend in Las Vegas. You know, it's not like the state is on lockdown. And so I understand not wanting to encourage travel to California right now, but I think the numbers would be so small that it wouldn't actually make any big deal, and especially people like me who have been vaccinated. And you know, I even have, like I said, I donated blood. I have proof of an antibody test that the vaccination actually worked. I have the antibodies. And so you know, I feel like if you want to get strict, if he had said you only, you know, nobody who lives more than 50 miles from Dodger Stadium can come to the games, that at least I can make sense, because it would be based on something.
That was the purple tier.
Yeah.
LA County only.
And for me, it's like, well, once you, if it's safe to have people, and purple tier was also only 100 people in the stands. Yeah. So basically it was no fans. So if it's safe to have 11,000 people in the stands, it's no less safe to have, you know, and if you want to say, okay, you have to show proof of vaccination if you're not from California, you know, I know some people that have an issue with that. I wouldn't, because I'm vaccinated, but I don't know. It's an interesting thing, but basically it's saying if you happen to live in the geographical area that Mexico ceded to the United States in 1848 after the Mexican-American War, you can go to a Dodger game. And when you put it that way, you realize, oh, this really is arbitrary.
Yeah, honestly, don't think they're going to enforce it. That's right. I think it's more of a matter of, you know, maybe when you're paying through the Dodgers.com or even through StubHub or whatever, you know, maybe you have to have a credit card with the postal code from California. Not, you know, they want to emphasize touchless and, you know, not really do anything. That's why at the World Series, they didn't allow bags. Spring training, they didn't allow bags. Dodger Stadium will allow clear bags. But they want to not have to touch or, you know, have contact. So I doubt they'll be checking IDs at the front, but who knows?
Yeah, and they definitely haven't said anything about that yet. And the only mention I saw, the LA Times article said that they'll only be able to sell tickets to California residents. And maybe if that's all they're doing, then great. You know, since I know that I'm not actually putting anybody at risk if I do show up at Dodger Stadium, since I am vaccinated and careful and I'll be wearing a mask and I'll be social distancing and all those other things that responsible citizens do, I won't feel guilty if I find out they're not checking IDs. You know, I will see you on April 9th.
So we're a week out from opening day, and, you know, you had your opening day roster the other day, but, you know, straight up, a week from the game, let's go opening day lineup, but not really the actual lineup, but let's go, you know, Austin Barnes, Will Smith. Is Austin Barnes going to be Kershaw's catcher, or is that going to start, you know, maybe after opening day or whatever else it is? And then the other one is AJ Pollock still starting left field?
Yeah, the Kershaw and Barnes question, I feel like if they were opening up at Dodger Stadium, we might see Will Smith catch Kershaw on opening day. But since it is in Colorado, where Kershaw has had some struggles in the past and every pitcher struggles, I feel like Barnes might be more important. It might be more important for Kershaw to be totally comfortable. And so, yeah, I think, you know, while Will Smith is the quote unquote opening day catcher, I don't expect him to be the starting catcher on opening day. As for left field, Yeah. I think it's, well, do we know who's starting for the Rockies?
No, I would think it's Herman Marquez if he's not hurt, but I'm not entirely sure.
Yeah. I know that Kyle Freeland is out. Freeland would be a good one for Pollock to start against. And in fact, I remember when the Dodgers signed Pollock, I looked it up and he had actually had a lot of success against Marquez too. If I remember, I think it was Marquez and John Gray and somebody else might have been Freeland that Pollock had really done well against. But, you know, that was the version of Pollock that was an MVP candidate. So, but yeah, I think Pollock is probably the starting left fielder on opening day, despite his current struggles. And in knowing him, he's going to hit 3 home runs.
And very possible, especially out there.
Hey guys, just want to say I listen to the podcast every day. I think it's great. I just want to know what you guys thought, if what kind of spring Gavin Lux had, good or bad, what kind of season you think he's going to have. And I really enjoy, I love everything this team does. I love all the moves they made. If I do have one kind of problem, it's I think Will Smith should be starting more games. Like, the more at-bats I see from him is that his at-bats look really good. And the idea that he may only, like, catch, what, 60, 80 games this season, I don't know. I just wish it was more.
Yeah, and they said 90 games, 90 starts for Smith. I think we talked about this at some point recently that, you know, I don't believe that. I don't believe that he's only going to start 90 games. I believe.
Yeah, me neither.
I don't even know if I believe that Roberts believes it at this point. I think a lot of it is, you know, I think Barnes is going to catch Kershaw every day and a lot of Buehler starts. And if Barnes hits like 2017 Barnes, then yeah, they might find more starts for him and or, you know, maybe do other things, whether it's trying to see if Will Smith can catch grounders at third to give JT an occasional day off, whether it's putting Barnes at second, which he's done in the past at times. But for the most part, you know, I don't really foresee Barnes hitting like 2017 Barnes. I think if he hits like last year, which was a good solid year for him, I don't see how you can justify giving him more than 40-ish starts.
The other part of it is, we mentioned the other day, is just, you know, Will Smith 2019 was a good framer. 2020, he didn't have the good framing numbers. You know, could be sample size, could be not. Obviously, the pitchers were a little more comfortable with Barnes. The Dodgers were able to handle it because of the DH in the playoffs. But, I think they want him to develop with some of these guys and develop the rapport, whether it's, you know, a Buehler occasional starts. They'd really want him to get comfortable with him. And then Bauer and May and Gonsolin, all those guys, they've already been pitching him for a while now, so they seem a little bit more comfortable. So I think, you know, they got to give him the chance to do that. I think the 90 games is, you know, Robert's maybe being a little bit cautious, not cautious, but just kind of, you know, throwing it out there and seeing what happens. But yeah, I don't expect Will Smith to be having 2 days off a week.
Especially if base runners are running crazy on Barnes, I think your pitchers are going to start saying, hey, maybe we get the guy with the rifle arm behind the plate.
Yeah.
As for Lux, you know, I'm driving the Lux train. he's been awesome. He's been exactly what I expect him to be. He hasn't hit any homers, but he has hit 4 doubles in the spring. He has looked really good. And he's also looked really good on defense. He, you know, his throws, every once in a while, there's one where the Muncy has to stretch a little bit more than he might like to. But for the most part, his defenses look good. He's ridiculously athletic. He's very fast. He's going to be, I expect Gavin Lux to be a very, very, very good player in 2021. And I think he's going to be, the starting second baseman, you know, almost every day. Are you on the train yet, Vince?
That play he made at short the other day almost had me, you know, ready to put the conductor hat on. Even though he's not going to play short that often, that's a play that, you know, Corey Seager doesn't make. He's never really made those types of plays, and Corey Seager doesn't really need to. The way they've positioned him, he's always seemed to be in the right spot. But, you know, that combined with the way he's been hitting, it's encouraging to see. And I think he just looks more comfortable. Last year, but for whatever the case, you know, we assume it might have been COVID related, but he did come in late, and then it was just kind of off from there. And he just had, you know, the look on it. He has a worrisome look on his face, but this year I definitely see more smiles, less worrisome looks, and he looks like he's out there just enjoying playing again. So I'm hoping that he does everything that we, you know, you expect him to do, and that he can help the Dodgers out as much as possible.
Yeah, we actually had an email today from Doug Stanley, our buddy, and he mentioned, he asked, like, worst case scenario, what if Lux struggles and Pollock struggles or gets hurt? Because Chris Taylor is kind of the backup for both of those guys. And I think in that case, they'd probably have to look at the trade market or something, especially if it was injuries. But if it's just struggles, I think they're going to give Lux a lot of room to do stuff this year. But if there were injuries to those two guys, then they might have to, you know, Doug said, maybe that's when you finally have to trade Gabriel Ruiz. And that might be the case. I do think the Dodgers are going to have a need or two in July, and make a trade, but we just don't know what that's going to be, because you don't know what the injury situation is going to be. Don't know how the starting pitching is going to pan out. Don't know how the bullpen is going to pan out. And so there will be needs. We just don't know what they're going to be, but I expect Keibert Ruiz will be, a sought after, commodity at the trade deadline.
I don't know if it's out yet. I don't think so. But on the Locked On previews for our team, I had to describe what the worst case scenario would be for the Dodgers, and we couldn't mention injuries. And basically, you know, why we talk about the Dodgers and the depth so much and you know, how they put themselves so ahead of it, you know, worst case scenario is that the entire team struggles and they maybe don't make the playoffs. But, you know, it's very hard to see 8 position players struggling and 5 starting pitchers struggling. So that's why any, you know, worst case scenario, you know, even if Pollock and Lux are hurt or whatever else it is, you know, we've mentioned DJ Peters as a guy that can maybe come up during the injury time and, you know, hit 10, 15 home runs in an extended period before pitchers start figuring them out too much. You know, we know Chris Taylor can fill roles. You know, Zach McKinstry would move into more of another role. Sheldon Newsy's another guy that, you know, would be able to come up. So they have the guys, maybe not to cover an entire season, but if guys do get hurt, they definitely have the depth. Maybe not as deep as it's been, or maybe not as strong as it's been, but they have the guys that can come in and fill in.
All right, Justin, did you have something you wanted to say?
Yeah, real quick, just kind of funny. I'll have to give you the full version out in Denver, Jeff, but I don't know if I ever told you guys, I rode the coattails of the fan who caught Gavin Lux's first major league homer out in Baltimore 2019. and I ended up getting an autograph ball out of it because me and this other guy walked with the guy who caught the ball to, you know, meet some representative, and the guy kind of negotiated and ended up saying, well, can I get an autographed bat? And the guy goes, yeah, we can do that. He wanted to meet Gavin, and this rep said, nah, it's not going to happen. And he goes, well, can I get an autographed bat? He goes, yeah, we can make that work. And then at the last second, he goes, oh, and an autographed ball for each of my buddies here. And so we got a ball out of it. It's pretty hilarious, but just nice. A funny little story there I wanted to throw in.
Oh, that is fun.
Okay, that's going to do it for today's episode. Thank you all for listening. Thank you for those who participated. If you want to be part of the next Locker Room Chat, make sure to download the Locker Room app. Follow Jeff at Snydog and follow me at Vincents91. And we'll make sure to get you involved in the next Locker Room Chat. Make sure to subscribe to the podcast wherever you get podcasts. Make sure to tell your friends and family about us. Make sure to follow us on social media, Twitter and Instagram at Locked On Dodgers. Jeff is on Twitter at Snydog. I'm at Vince Samperio. If you want to call and leave us a voicemail or shoot us a text, you can do so at 323-863-LOCK or send us an email, lockedondodgers@gmail.com. We're here every weekday morning, and we hope you'll be with us. When you get in your car or if you're at home, tell your smart device to play a podcast, Locked On Dodgers. And remember, you don't have to agree. You just have to listen. Have a good one.
D. I say D-O. D-O-D-G-E-R-S. The team that's all heart, all heart and all thumbs. They're my Los Angeles. Your Los Angeles. Our Los Angeles. Do you think we'll really win the pennant? Bye!